Welcome to week 13 of All in the Saints with Jake Seeley and Bobby McMahon. As always, if you need to tweet us at All in Kit for myself, at Hello, I'm Bobby for Bobby, and we'll make sure that we can help you get into the playoffs and keep winning throughout the playoffs, hopefully. Well, how are you doing, Bobby? Are you in most of your playoffs? Are you on the way, or are you battling still for a few spots left?
I'm battling for a few. I'm in a couple, so I'm in decent shape right now. I think if you have Drew Brees at quarterback, though, you should be in pretty good shape. Just keep starting him, and you'll be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, that's always a pretty good answer, is just go ahead and roll out Drew Brees, and you should be okay. so far, let's just talk about that game real quick, because obviously the big elephant in the room is everything was great. Mark Ingram looked terrific coming back from the concussion. Tim Hightower got his late in the game. Willie Snead threw a touchdown pass. Drew Brees was going bananas. Look at everything. Brandon Coleman caught a touchdown. Michael Thomas was terrific. Oh, by the way, if you want to, as a sidebar, on the Fantasy Sports Radio on Monday morning, if you want to go check it out, you can check it out on demand on Audio Boom, or you could just download the app on iOS or Google Play. We had Michael Thomas on and interviewed him on Monday after
that
big
one. Yes, good listen. You should definitely check that out if you're a Saints fan.
Super nice guy. Super, you could just tell that. Yeah, it's, everything just is about being better for him. It's very good, but the elephant in the room is Brandon Cooks not only just no fantasy points for everybody, but no targets. Now, if you watch the game, and I know a lot of Saints fans out there are knowledgeable enough to have watched and seen it themselves, the coverage was rolled over top of them, they were bracketing them, everything down the list, and you can obviously say that was the plan, was to take him out. And then you get jobbed because the rest of the team goes bananas on you. Do you have any concerns after that game from Brandon Cooks? Because obviously people are out there. I'm already getting the questions. Do I bench Brandon Cooks? I need to win and get in. And I can't have that happen to me again.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only concern is that there's just so many weapons to choose from in this offense. And it just can't be his day every single week. And, you know, we've seen it. Michael Thomas has had – I mean, he's been – awesome this year, but he's had a couple games where he's been a little bit not as involved as some other guys. It happens to Snead, you know, it's happened to Cooks a few times, but not in the form of zero targets before this year. So yeah, a little troubling as you're kind of trying to either wrap up the regular season here or really headed right into the playoffs. You want to make sure one of your key players, which Brandon Cooks is on your fantasy team, a key player, is playing at the optimal level. I think that gets rectified this week. I think he definitely gets the ball. I'm not benching him in any of the couple leagues I have him in, because he's just too talented and the offense is too good, and also the matchup is too good.
Yeah, let me ask you about that from another side of things, because I thought this was interesting. It's like, oh, I'm rolling him out there in DFS everywhere because he's going to go off on this game. This is another great matchup where he can get behind the Lions defense. And then somebody kind of brought up the point, the counterpoint, and the fact like, well, maybe do you not want to in tournaments because everybody is going to be thinking the same thing. As Brandon Cooks gets shut out, and the squeaky wheel gets the grease because he said he wasn't a fan of how things were used. And so do you kind of think now we head the other way, where it's, well, maybe you just want to go put Michael Thomas back in your lineup again?
Yeah, I think in a tournament that might be the play, or even taking a look at Willie Snead or someone like that to pivot away from Cooks, who's going to be, yeah, definitely very, very high owned in tournaments on daily sites this weekend, that's for sure, because people are expecting just a monster bounce back. It's a great matchup, so I could see it, but certainly I still think even if Cooks has a huge game and gets a ton of targets, I mean, Michael Thomas and Willie Snead are still good plays anyway, so I could see the pivot there for sure.
Everything else in this looks like really good. Like, as mentioned, obviously Mark Ingram. What about Tim Hightower, though? Because if Mark Ingram's leading the way and then Tim Hightower is a blowout game, didn't get a lot till late in the game, are you at all concerned that maybe Tim Hightower is more of a flex option similar to Tevin Coleman with the Falcons and the fact that you could get a game where if he doesn't score a touchdown, there's not a ton for there?
Yeah, I think that's a great comparison, and that's kind of where Coleman is floating at as well. And, you know, Hightower obviously had the 50-yard touchdown reception, which certainly helped his day. It is a great matchup, though, so I do think it kind of bumps him up a little bit, and you have to be tempted to start him against the Lions. Just really porous defense, you know, really been burned on the ground and through the air, so It could be a pretty good day for both running backs. Obviously, Ingram's definitely back in as a, you know, a top 12, top 15 option. And I think Hightower, you're right, as a flex this week, I could see him being, you know, back end RB2, though, because of the matchup.
Yeah, I think so as well. So the waiver wire options this week are a little bit thin. Wasn't a lot that happened, similar to a couple weeks ago, where you're looking at some players that, you know, more upside than situations that you need help immediately for. Obviously, let me make things one clear again. We talked about last week, but just to emphasize this point and really drive it home is, if you have running backs like Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, and these big names, just make sure you have your handcuffs at this point. You cannot get into the playoffs and then lose a player like that and have that guy on somebody else's roster or on the waiver wire.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the time of year where you definitely want to back up your stud. Your stud running backs, you're going to want to have the backup, because if something happens in the next couple weeks and you miss out on that player, you're one, in a big hole because you just lost a stud, and two, someone who you're likely going to be facing might have just picked up the backup running back that could be used against you now.
Yeah, that would be the worst part about it. It's not only do you not have them, is that you have somebody else who picked them up because you weren't paying attention. There's no point in having a wide receiver 5 or an RB5 or a second tight end, unless, you know, obviously if you're looking for, that might be, you know, I won't say that, a third tight end, definitely, because now you actually do start looking ahead, like quarterback situations, is if you have a bad week matchup in week 15 for your quarterback, you know, maybe you go and grab somebody off the waiver wire now. And this same thing for defenses. This is where the one time of year where I say, you know what, it's okay to have two defenses.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're looking at matchups, you really, at this point in the season. You know, Marcus Mariota is a great example for quarterbacks. He's obviously on bye this week, but then he has a really tough matchup against Denver next week. So you're looking at 2 weeks of replacing Marcus Mariota. So I do the same with defenses. I want to make sure I've got the optimal matchups. And if I need to pick up Cincinnati for the next couple weeks, because they have two really good matchups, and then I bench them and put in, you know, my regular starting defense, I'm okay with carrying two of them this week.
Yeah, of course. One thing let's make abundantly clear is people need to stop not having Colin Kaepernick on rosters. I don't know what he has to do at this point for Colin Kaepernick. Look, I said it last week. He has a 15-point floor with a 25-point ceiling. Well, it turns out that ceiling's more like 32 points, and the upside is just – you look at the schedule the rest of the way. Let me ask you this, because we've already said Colin Kaepernick needs to be owned. Obviously, there's a lot of people out there who can't carry three quarterbacks. And the only reason I bring this up is because I've been getting a lot of these questions. So I know there's a lot of people out there with this type of situation. And I'm getting, I have Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins. Do I go pick up Kaepernick, and who do I drop? Or I have Matthew Stafford and Kirk Cousins, or Matthew Stafford and Russell Wilson. Is like, at what point is Kaepernick better than these options? Like, oh, let's just throw those three names out there. Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford. If you had to drop any of those, would you drop any of them for Colin Kaepernick?
I'm not sure that – I mean, he obviously needs to be owned, but in a situation where I already have two quarterbacks and two pretty good ones, I mean, Stafford has been very solid. He's hit some tough matchups, you know, in recent weeks, but I still like him for for the rest of the season. And same way, I mean, Cousins is just a volume thrower. So when you're talking about guys like that, I think it's tough to justify it. I mean, you can make a decision and say, I'm going to cut, you know, maybe I'm going to cut Stafford after this weekend, and pick up Kaepernick might be gone by then. So it's, you know, he's got a pretty decent matchup against the Bears. Colin Kaepernick does. And he faces the Jets, and then Atlanta in week 15, which is the playoffs. And we know that Atlanta has struggled defensively. So, I mean, it's decent. You're not scared of any of these matchups for him. Yeah. You know, his scariest matchup is Seattle. That's week 17. Hopefully your league's over by then. So, yeah, I mean, he's in that mix, but I don't necessarily – it literally would come down to if I'm not going to play him, it's just basically, am I keeping him away from someone else in a really close matchup? But if you drop Kirk Cousins, someone's picking him up. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing too, is I just don't want Kaepernick sitting out there. I don't want somebody else to be able to pick him up and play him against me, because then it's like, oh, shoot, they just got a quarterback who could potentially put up 30 points in a week against me, and I lost because I didn't keep them away from them.
Yep, no, that's a great point. And I think that there's a, that you know, gamesmanship type strategy is at this point in the season. If you know one of the playoff teams is struggling, or they have Mariota and they're going to be forced to play him next week against Denver, maybe they're not thinking ahead. You know, and you can scoop up Kaepernick. That's one of the spots where I'd say, you know what, if I have a roster spot to burn, I'll burn it to play a little keep away if it's a potential you know, playoff contender.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Before we get into the rest of the waiver pickups and options that you might need, let's talk about two aspects that you said there that interest me for going forward for the playoffs. Is the fact of, you know, keeping away from others. That's obviously a smart decision. But what do you do with the people who say, hey, you know, I'm probably going to be the number one or number two seed, but if I lose, I could face this team instead of this team, or I get a better playoff matchup? And do you ever buy into that strategy, or do you just think that's a fool's errand?
I actually got a similar question on Twitter yesterday, and you know, I think if there's nothing in the constitution of your league about it, I mean, it's not illegal. I think it will definitely anger some people in the league, especially the guy who maybe you, you know, knocked out of the playoffs to get into and get someone else in that you think is an easier matchup. I just personally, I would never do it. I just would. I'm always going to play it out and play to win, and put all my best players in my lineup and not play to lose a game because I want to play someone else. I mean, not to mention the fact that on any given week, you know, it comes down to players playing and putting up fantasy points, and someone can beat you. Now, you're definitely giving your team a better shot, maybe, by playing a lesser opponent and kind of diving in one week to set something up for yourself. But that's just not for me. I think it's kind of definitely on unethical ground.
And well, here's the thing. Is it unethical if you do it by yourself and you're just trying to find a way to, like, or is it obviously the other part of it where you're maybe trying to help get your buddy into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, that's like obviously the collusion level there is certainly, I think, illegal. But yeah, even like if I'm in leagues with a lot of either friends or people, you know, I know and have known, I'm just not going to do that to anyone.
Yeah, and like I said, you brought up point too, and I'm going to continue to agree with you and expound on it, is you just don't know what's going to happen in the next round. You know, you get that 4 seed instead of the 2 seed or the 3 seed or whatever it was. So, you know, whatever you're trying to plan against or trying to face up, you might get somebody who busts out, you know, Taylor Gabriel against you, and then he scores 2 touchdowns and 22 points, and then what? You know, you can plan all you want, but this is fantasy football. I could understand it a little bit more in fantasy baseball, especially like with a weekly matchup, and you know what players are for the course of the season. There's a much less variability for 1 week, but any given week in football, heck, if you went to last week, Brandon Cooks and Eric Ebron versus Taylor Gabriel, you'd be like, I'm good, forget this guy.
Right, exactly. And that's what I mean. You just never know. And sometimes it's, you know, be careful what you wish for, and you, you know, get the quote unquote lesser opponent and ends up having a huge week and knocks you right out. And then on top of everyone in the league being angry at you, you just knocked yourself out of the playoffs.
Yep. And then for the other side of that I want to continue is, what is your opinion on one teams that aren't in the playoffs being allowed to make waiver moves? Do you think it cuts off once the playoffs hit? Do you think it's once they're eliminated? And then two is, once you're in the playoffs, of teams in the playoffs still being allowed to make waiver moves?
Yeah, I think once the playoffs start, I think if it's a seasonal format, that is the only teams that should be making waiver pickups. And I do agree that they should still be able to. Because, you know, injuries still can happen,
you don't want them to give away a free win to somebody you're battling for a playoff spot.
No, right, yeah, no, definitely not. But exactly, and that's why I want them to be able to still make moves until the playoffs begin. Because again, I want to field the best team possible, and I'd also want my, you know, my league mates to do the same exact thing. And that's whether I'm 2-10 or, you know, 12-1 or whatever I am. I want to try and win. And, you know, teams that are out of it at this point in the year, don't check your lineup. Like, keep playing, because you could knock someone out. You could still have an effect on the season in a big way by knocking someone else out of the playoffs.
And isn't that kind of a fun feeling? I mean, honestly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you get, especially if it's like somebody who, you know, got you a loss early in the year, and then you can get the revenge of knocking them out of the playoffs. I think that's an underrated aspect of fantasy, is people, you know, the enjoy of knocking somebody out of the playoffs.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, in some regards, you're playing for other things other than pride, but, you know, in that regard, in a seasonal league, say it's with friends and family, and if I can knock out my, you know, my friend or my uncle or whoever, yeah, it's something I can, you know, shove back in his face at some point over Christmas, and that'll be nice.
Yeah, I think so as well. All right, so back to some other waiver options this week. If you own Marcus Mariota, let's say you have the roster spot. After seeing the game they put together last week and the volume of passing and the fact that his wide receiver still dropped 10 passes, interest in Matt Barkley this week, especially with a good matchup again. He's 49ers on tap this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Barkley, he looked pretty good. He was pretty impressive last week, and I think, like you're saying, the matchup is pretty good. So if a Kaepernick's not on the waiver wire, say he's long gone, I'd probably look at Barkley and maybe, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick from the Jets as another pretty good option. So yeah, I think that Barkley is definitely in the streaming consideration right now.
Would you rather go with Barkley or Fitzpatrick?
Fitzpatrick. I'll take Fitzpatrick. I just feel a little bit better about the track record, about the receiving core. I think it's a really nice matchup overall for the offense, and I think Fitzpatrick should have a pretty solid game. Barkley, more of an unknown. There may be actually more upside because the matchup is better, but I think I'd feel safer going with Fitzpatrick myself.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick gets the Colts on Monday night. Only the Falcons are allowing more fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, and if you look at the Colts, have only given up actually made three interceptions all year. So if you're worried about the turnovers with Fitzpatrick, it's actually a matchup where you don't have to worry about as much.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's maybe instead of throwing three, he only throws one or two, so that's not going to be bad for you.
If you, one more kind of situational play that we have here. Let's say you're a Marcus Mariota starter. We've already talked about the schedule briefly, but let's say you have a shallow bench and you can't drop, like, you'd have to drop Alfred Morris and your Ezekiel Elliott owner. You'd have to drop your fourth wide receiver because, again, it's shallow bench situations. There's leagues that like this that are out there. There's just nobody you can, this, what there's always people say to us on Twitter, I can drop nobody. This is my only option. And you have to drop Marcus Mariota because of his bye week and pick up a quarterback, and the quarterbacks are decent, like Eli Manning's, Tyrod Taylor's, and stuff like that. With Mariota's schedule, the fact that he comes out of the bye to get Denver, on the road to Kansas City, on the road to Jacksonville to finish things out, can you drop Marcus Mariota, or are you too worried that maybe he's gotten to the point where he's matchup proof and he could help somebody in the playoffs, and then you get beat by the guy you dropped?
Yeah, I mean, I always think there is that risk. I think if you're fighting for your playoff life and you've got a really small bench, I could see it. I think you could probably find another player to drop. But if you really can't, yeah, I could see it. Cause he's not useful in the next 2 weeks. I would say he's almost matchup proof, but I don't, there's like no quarterback I really want to play against the Denver Broncos, outside of, you know, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees. So, I mean, other than those guys and maybe one or two others that I would play, I really don't – I'm not looking forward to that Week 14 matchup. So if you're fighting in these next 2 weeks, you need it. And then, you know, Kansas City isn't a great matchup, and honestly, neither is Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville's an okay, but Jacksonville's actually been pretty limiting to opposing quarterbacks for fantasy purposes. Now, I think Mariota is still worth starting against both of those teams, but they're both away, you know, in Weeks 15 and 16. And I just think if you need to get into the playoffs, just make sure that you get into the playoffs and then worry about the playoffs afterwards. But, you know, dropping a top five, top eight quarterback like Mariota would be a tough decision to make at this point.
It is really a tough decision. And unfortunately, this is why I know it's always like, oh, well, my way of playing is the best and all that type of stuff. But I just want to put it out there, like, a six-man bench is really ideal. It just kind of gives you the opposite, you know, just this is my problem is, like, why would you go into a situation where you have to make this happen to your team? You're kind of penalizing. You're adding additional luck.
Right, exactly, and I'd take it one step further. I like a ten player bench, but that's just me. That kind of gets a little bit deeper, maybe too deep for some more casual players. But But in those instances, there's still a ton of players on the wire and there's still a ton of strategy that goes into every roster move, no matter how big rosters are.
Yeah, I think so as well. So to go to running back waiver options that might help you, Deion Lewis, make sure he's picked up, especially in PPR leagues. Tim Hightower, we mentioned before. TJ Yeldon, especially. Chris Ivory's banged up now that TJ Yeldon is back. At the top of the list, originally you were talking about last week, Wendell Smallwood. I don't even have him at the top of the list, but we can talk about Wendell Smallwood. He had the opportunity, led the backfield. Ryan Matthews still looks like he's going to be out for a little more time. But the Doug Peterson offense and the usage of the running backs, I mean, what kind of confidence can we put in Wendell Smallwood going forward? Is he even an RB2?
I think he's in that range just because, I mean, we don't know. We didn't know on a week-to-week basis what touches Ryan Matthews was going to get, and really Sproles also for that matter. But I think this week I like the matchup against the Bengals. You know, they've definitely given up some yardage on the season to running backs, both through the air and on the ground, a pretty good amount, and also a decent amount of touchdowns as well. So I think it's a good matchup for Smallwood. So, yeah, for this week, for sure, I still have him in the RB2 range. But, you know, I don't think it's a huge upside RB2. I think it's, you know, a mid-range type of running back that you're going to start, you know, if you're still dealing with some injuries or some tough matchups or a bye week.
Yeah, I think so as well. So the one I have at the top of my list is Kenneth Dixon. The tide seems to be turning a little bit.
Finally.
What was that?
I said finally.
Finally, yeah. The usage was similar, or the results were similar, but the usage actually was pretty similar too. But the snaps actually were in favor of Kenneth Dixon for the first time this year. And you said finally, and we've been waiting for it all year. Would you rather own Kenneth Dixon than Wendell Smallwood going forward because of the potential?
Absolutely, yeah. I've been a fan of Dixon all season and been, you know, waiting, have him on a bunch of teams as a stash in those deeper bench leagues. I think he's the type of player that could certainly start to push Terrence West aside a little bit here, and maybe he carves out RB2 value down the stretch at the most important time of year when you really might need it.
Yeah, I think so as well. So going deeper, Matt Asiata, the touches aren't there, but when they get into the red zone, it's insistent on giving him the touches and the potential to score. Really, I mean, is he usable? Do you want to put him in your lineup at this point? And I know it's frustrating, but at the same time, if he's going to get 5 red zone carries per game, I mean, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to. I'm not looking forward to it because you're just banking on that touchdown or, you know, potential for multiple touchdowns. He's not a guy I'm excited to play. I find him in the Tim Hightower range, I would say, is kind of hit or miss workload. You're hoping for a score, that type of player. I think this week I would favor Hightower. Like I said, I really like that matchup for him. Yeah, he's a guy that certainly needs to be owned, because if you suffer an injury, he's a guy that you plug in, and if he scores a touchdown, a couple touchdowns, I mean, he's got a nice fantasy upside when it comes to, you know, running backs that you're looking for to sub in.
Yeah, all right. So we got 2 on the running back list with potential for later this year of returns. Charles Sims or Amir Abdullah, are you interested in stashing either one of them?
Yeah, I mean, I think both of them probably should be stashed. Again, this is going to be in a league where you have a decent-sized bench, because I'm not taking up a spot on one of these guys just yet if I have a really small bench. Yeah, I think we saw Sims play a pretty significant role in the Bucs offense as a, you know, a change of pace, really just a complimentary player, the 1B to Doug Martin. And in a PPR format, I think he has plenty of value. Abdullah, you know, Theo Riddick is a nice player, and he has a role in this offense. That role is being completely stretched right now, and I think that's fairly obvious that he shouldn't be getting as many touches on a per game basis as he is. I think Abdullah is possible to slide right back into a role, because Dwayne Washington hasn't really done too much to impress in the chances that he's got. So I think that Abdullah is certainly, if he can come back, is in line for, you know, a pretty good amount of workload if he's healthy.
Yeah, I think so as well. And then what about Rex Burkhead behind Jeremy Hill? Because he missed some time last week against the Ravens, saw all the backup work. It was a really tough matchup. But hey, you know what? He had a few catches and some decent yards per carry. Any interest there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you're looking at either handcuffs or handcuffing or even, you know, even if you don't own Hill and trying to get a player like I look at Capri Bibbs as another of this type, where he's only going to get a few carries a game and really not going to take over anything. But if Devonta Booker got hurt, I would think Capri Bibbs would be in line for a very extended look. Same with Burkhead. I think we can assume that if Jeremy Hill got hurt, he would be in line for a really good workload, and he's a pretty good pass catching running back. So I think in a PPR format, he'd probably be in the running back two range if anything ever happened to Hill.
Yeah, I think so as well. So at wide receiver, Sammy Watkins, Kenny Britt, Travis Benjamin, Corey Coleman, Tyler Boyd, all those should have been picked up in leagues at this point. Sammy Watkins is now back to must-start status, right?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I think even though you see what he can do in limited snaps, I think it's still a couple weeks before he's a full go. But yeah, you're definitely starting him this weekend. Good matchup for him. He's a wide receiver three. It will climb as long as the healthier he gets, the further he's going to climb up the wide receiver rankings.
Yeah, I think so as well. So one that's at the top of my list, and not a lot of people agree with, but I'm kind of confused why. And I know some people are going to say, well, look at the schedule. And I understand that the schedule is really rough, but Marquise Lee, he's not new to my list, but I think people need to come around with him. Is the fact is it's a bad schedule, especially for the playoff run, but he has four catches in each of the last four games, touchdowns in the last two, 52.8 fantasy points in those four games. Alan Hearns hurt his hamstring on Sunday, and Lee has actually kind of surpassed him already at this point. Now he's getting number two wide receiver snaps. Again, I know it's a bad schedule, but he's a number two on an offense that still passes plenty. I think he has to be on rosters.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to look forward to starting Lee, but I definitely think he needs to be on rosters. I do think he's certainly separated himself from even a healthy Alan Hearns. You know, four catches in four straight. He's scored in two straight. It's a very tough. I mean, that is a brutal, brutal schedule the next 3 weeks, Denver, Minnesota, and at Houston. But certainly a bench guy for sure.
What about Tyreek Hill? Tyreek Hill's been a lot of value lately, but are we just using him as long as Jeremy Maclin's out, and once he's back, he kind of hurts his value because it's the Chiefs' offense, and the Chiefs' offense doesn't support a lot of offensive weapons.
Tyreek Hill, I'm not familiar with that name. he's
start Tyreek Hill or Brandon Cooks this week.
He is an exciting player. I will definitely say that. He is certainly a guy I want on my bench. I have in a deeper league, I've been starting him for the past 2 months because I'm also a Maclin owner. And, I will say that I've started both of them together, and that's not something I'm proud of, to start two Chiefs receivers at the same time. I think there's enough room, for this offense for him to be a flex play when Maclin comes back. I think right now he's a wide receiver three. There's certainly some boom or bust in his game, obviously, with the playmaking ability and the, you know, kind of conservative offense that they typically run. Even if Maclin is back, I probably would want to reserve him, but certainly want him on my roster. He's got to be one of the hottest pickups after what he did last week.
Another one, something that's probably like just looking at pure production. Marquise Wilson, again, the Matt Barkley experience, he went to Marquise Wilson more than anybody else on the team. He's threw targets to three of the receivers, saw nine, but, you know, Cam Meredith only caught two. There were some miscommunications with the others, like Bellamy. It clearly looks like Marquise Wilson's got the most chemistry with Barkley. Is he somebody that is he just pure upside play, or is he somebody that if you are wide receiver needy, that you could possibly get some value out of?
Yeah, I think you might be able to. I've been a fan of his for a while, and he's really, you know, kind of gotten lost in the shuffle and gotten injured a few times throughout his few years in the league. So I definitely like the talent. Obviously, you have to like what you saw of him last week, and really it was his first action of the season. So that's a pretty good showing. I think most importantly, it means that I don't even think Cam Meredith is needs to be on your roster anymore. I think you could drop him. I think the one guy you want to own is Wilson. If you're looking at this receiving core, other than I still think Alshon has been dropped in a few leagues. And if you're looking at probably likely making the playoffs, Alshon is due back, I think, week 15. So he'd be week 15, 16 for you if you're going to be in the playoffs. And I would think that he would be a target monster. I mean, we've been thinking that all year and it hasn't happened. But I think Alshon's another one that should be on your radar.
And going deeper, is Dorrell Green Beckham interesting, or is he only interesting to you if Jordan Matthews is missing time?
He'd be definitely interesting if Matthews misses time. I am not sure where that is at right now. I think we'll have to wait until later in the week. I think he's a bench upside play with obviously Aguilar falling out of favor. I really think that Matthews is the clear one here, but then that Green Beckham has been playing pretty decently lately. So I think he's a play possibly if Jordan Matthews is out. He's a roster for me either way.
All right. And then how about Malcolm Mitchell and what he's been able to do for the Patriots? This is just contingent on the fact that Rob Gronkowski has been out and limited. If Gronkowski's on the field, Malcolm Mitchell just doesn't have enough with all these options on this team. Or is this somebody who's an emerging talent, somebody that, you know, I think that we've talked about before. I love his stop and go ability, and it's shown so far in his ability to get open, especially downfield, and for Tom Brady to hit him. And it is a Tom Brady offense.
Absolutely, and Tom Brady has been praising him and heaping praise on him these past few weeks, and that's a really good sign. So I think he's definitely an emerging talent, that's for sure. I question, you know, if he's going to be able to carve out a weekly, consistent role, just because, again, like the Saints offense, there's just so many options for Tom Brady and the Patriots. But it looks like, you know, depending on when Gronk comes back, Martellus Bennett says he'll be fine, but that ankle has clearly been slowing him down the past few weeks. I still think there's plenty of room for Malcolm Mitchell here. Definitely a guy I want on my roster, if not in my lineup.
What about Taylor Gabriel? Because I'll give you my opinion straight up on Taylor Gabriel so far. I love the potential in the boomer bust play, but I can't really contend. Like, I'm not looking to add him and start him because the situation is the snaps still aren't there, and not every single team is going to shut down Julio Jones. And when you have Julio Jones getting his, and Devontae Freeman, and then Tevin Coleman, and Mohamed Sanu, and he's getting more snaps than Taylor Gabriel, at best he's what, the fourth or fifth option. You can't be this productive on a per touch basis all the time.
No, nice player for that offense for sure. But as far as fantasy goes, I'd have to be pretty deep. Roster construction to be rostering Taylor Gabriel at this point. It's not the type of player I would rather have all the other guys we just talked about and probably a couple others.
Yeah, I think so as well. How about a few more here down the list? These are some names that are more common, but maybe you have a favorite of them. Adam Thielen, with the fact that Stefon Diggs is practicing but could be back, so does that just automatically eliminate his value in your opinion? Will Fuller, huge boom or bust play, hasn't been boom in a long time, but a good matchup this week. Or Brandon LaFell, who Tyler Boyd looks better than him, but Brandon LaFell still had two red zone targets last week, the same amount as Tyler Eifert. Does any of one of those pique your interest more than the other?
Yeah, Fuller, I think, for me, stands out. I think that the matchup, especially this week, is very nice with the Packers. So I think that's an intriguing spot for him. He obviously came back. He's been dealing with a hamstring, which for a guy with his type of speed can be a brutal injury, and you know, didn't look really healthy until last week. And played a pretty good amount of snaps, almost a full complement of snaps last week. So that tells you that I think he's definitely getting back to healthy. So I like him even as a wide receiver roll of the dice type play this weekend against the Packers. So he'd be the pick for me.
All right. Let's talk about – one more. J.J. Nelson. We kind of went through this a few weeks ago. Had two really nice games. Then he has opportunity as the number two wide receiver. Didn't do a whole lot. Now John Brown is dealing with the sickle cell situation and the injury to his leg. So you've got that concern. Michael Floyd's been having a down year all year long, very inconsistent, which is disappointing because I thought he was going to have a huge year this year. Do we have appeal for J.J. Nelson, or is it just the fact that this offense is Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson in the passing game, and then that's why we don't really want anything else?
Yeah, I think it's just a frustrating situation if you're looking for value outside of those two players. I think even with Fitzgerald's kind of declined a little bit in the second half of the season, he's still the guy that's the first look for Palmer. And David Johnson's obviously a man child. So, I think Nelson would certainly rise to the third option for me here. Jermaine Gresham could be in that mix as well, sadly. But I don't really want much to do with Nelson outside of a deep league.
Okay, let's move over to tight ends, and we got a little bit of time left here. Cameron Brate is still around the 50% ownership mark. I don't understand that, especially when you look at the fact that he's actually leading the Buccaneers in red zone receptions and touchdowns and is tied with Mike Evans for red zone targets. As with Sims, Brate also has a really nice schedule for the rest of the season. He's clearly a must-have. I would be starting Cameron Brate over the likes of Antonio Gates and similar tight ends like that.
Yeah, I could see it. I've been a nice Brate supporter. I think he's a quality option. He's what you want in a tight end. He's probably only going to catch four or five passes, but he's going to get those red zone looks, and that's huge. So I think he's certainly getting those from Jameis Winston, and he's really that second option in the passing game in that offense after Mike Evans.
Yeah. And then moving further down the list, C.J. Fedorowicz, under 40% owned. He has at least 8.2 or more fantasy points in all of one of his last eight games. And in PPR formats with five double-digit performances, I think if you look at the lower scoring games, you look at the fact that at Minnesota, at Denver, at Jacksonville, which is a top 10 defense against tight ends that people don't realize, last week was the first real week where he had a decent matchup but didn't have a huge game. I know he's touchdown reliant, but for how consistent he's been, at least on a target standpoint, again, similar to Antonio Gates, Antonio Gates had two touchdowns and nothing last week, and it's just so up and down. Would you rather go with somebody like Fedorowicz, where it's, you know, you're getting 5 to 10 every single week, or would you rather go with a Gates where it's 1 week it's 15, next week it's zero?
Yeah, that's the frustrating thing about some of the tight ends. And personally, it all depends on how your lineup is constructed and kind of your threshold for upside, I guess. But I like the steady guy, like a Fedorowicz, who if he scores, it's gravy. But if not, he's still probably going to give me, you know, four catches for 40 at the very least. So it won't be a complete washout for him. So I like players like that. I think he needs to be owned in more leagues. And, you know, even if you have a locked in starter already, I think if you're going to carry a second one at this point, just in case, it's Fedorowicz or even Brate. I prefer Brate, I think, slightly more, but just because I think there's a better red zone threat there. But Fedorowicz definitely a top 15 tight end.
All right, and then the last one, Vernon Davis, with the fact that Jordan Reed could be sidelined with that shoulder injury. But I'm not that thrilled about picking up Vernon Davis, even though he's flashed early this year, and he's going to be an immediate plug-in for his replacement. Or he's the replacement, the immediate plug-in for the guy in front of him. The problem is, he's facing Arizona this week, which, by the way, hasn't even given up 300 total yards all year to tight ends, hasn't yet allowed a touchdown to tight ends, and it's not like they're facing poor competition. There's a lot of big-name tight ends in there, including names like Greg Olsen and stuff like that. Would you pick up Vernon Davis just because of the opportunity, or do you look at that matchup and say, never mind, I'm going to kind of maybe even think about a Vance McDonald?
Yeah, matchup is brutal, but I think he's worth an add if Jordan Reed is going to miss some time, and that means you might have to roster two tight ends or three tight ends for the next few weeks, depending on your situation, because you mentioned a guy like Vance McDonald, and I'm okay with someone like him too, because I think he's kind of like a poor man's Fedorowicz. At least since Colin Kaepernick took over, he's been pretty steady, and if he scores, it's gravy, but he's given you consistently between 40 and 70 yards a week, which comes with, 3 to 6 catches. So in a PPR format, he's getting close to double digits every single week. So I like a guy like McDonald this week over Vernon Davis, regardless of what Jordan Reed does.
I actually agree with you on that situation. Real quick, before we get out of here and finish up the show, two running back situations I want to bring up just to get your opinion on. And again, you guys can tweet us at OlinKid for myself, at Hello and Bobby for Bobby. Didn't get into matchups this week. This is the more important stuff. I wanted to talk about the playoff strategies and matchups and stuff like that. But we have Thomas Rawls, who's taking over, obviously, with the situation of CJ Prosser being done for the year. And then we talked about the Wendell Smallwood situation earlier in the show. Both of them going forward, can they be top 20 running backs?
Rawls, yes, definitely. I still believe – I mean, last week I think it was just frustrating for the entire Seattle Seahawks offense, who had been rolling for the previous three games to that, but absolutely got stuck in the mud against Carolina. So I still think Rawls definitely has RB2 value moving forward. Smallwood – Not so much. I don't think it's sustainable. I think once Ryan Matthews comes back, that's just a really messy situation. And the only guy you're looking at is obviously Sproles has his role, his niche is carved out. And then if Ryan Matthews comes back and is healthy, and Ryan Matthews was rolling before he got hurt. So I just think if he comes back healthy, it's going to make Wendell Smallwood, a bench player or a cut.
All right, here's one for you then. Rest of the way, Darren Sproles or Wendell Smallwood?
I'm going to take Sproles. I think he's safer.
All right. How about we'll get you out of here on this one. I'll pull out one more because these are always fun. Tevin Coleman or Kenneth Dixon for the rest of the season?
Ooh, that is a good one. I'm going to say Dixon either way. Dixon.
Yeah, I like it. Kenneth Dixon, our boy, it's happening. I hope he leads some people to the championship. That would be terrific. But got to get out of here. I'm headed over to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Tweet again one more time. Hello, I'm Bobby. Check out his work on rotoexperts.com. Terrific stuff for you. Hey, he's an FSWA award winner. Check out my stuff, Twitter, @AllInKid. I'm also on rotoexperts.com. I have not won an award like him, but we're both really good. So we'll catch you next week. Good luck in week 13.